Welcome to the latest Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loff.
Tech Chat number 73 for October 14, 2010. This is Michael Loff. Along with me tonight, Mr. Joe Steinkamp in one of his many areas of expertise tonight. Part two of our segment on video magnifiers. We're going with some of the larger ones, some of the desktop units, and some that are now portable thanks to new LCD technologies. Our guest this evening, we're going to have live. We'll speak with in about 10 minutes, Mr. Brian Smith. He's the president of Magnesite. He'll be joining us out in the Denver area. A little bit later, around the bottom of the hour, we're going to play a pre-recorded interview with Kelly Stewart with Optilec, and she will be talking about some of the products they have. Also joining me, hello, Mr. Joe Steinkamp.
Good evening, Michael. Good evening, everyone.
I also want to invite folks to check out our previous tech chat. It was number 69, specifically on handheld magnifiers, and that was on September 16th. And I thought that was very interesting. Joe was on his game, and I was rolling that night asking some good questions for someone who doesn't even use a product, and we had some demos of different items from Humanware and Enhanced Vision. Many companies, many choices, and most important for you to shop around and find a rep that can show you multiple products and isn't tied to just one so that you can find the units that are best equipped to meet your needs. Little disclaimer that all comments are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers. Also coming up in some future tech chats next week, Tech Chat 74 on October 21st, latest and greatest iPhone apps. So we'll be talking about some really cool stuff since we've covered this a year ago, new apps for the iPhone and iPod Touch. October 28th, it's Tech Chat 75, this month in access technology, something we'll do on the last Thursday of every month. Developments this month and some things going into 2011. Some things in November, we're going to do a presentation on PC security. We had a request for that, so we always welcome your suggestions, resources at Serotalk.com. November 18th, JJ, if you're listening, buddy, we're going to invite you here, but we want to do a holiday buying guide, not so much the stocking stuffer, but just some tips on shopping online, using stores, and making sure you allow enough time and how to get online coupons to get those discounts, and I think a very interesting presentation. Join us for all of that good stuff. Before we speak with Brian from Magnesite, Joe, I want to ask you a few questions first, and what do we need to be looking for some of these standalone desktop units?
You know, the first thing we should talk about is the most important thing, and that would be the display, Michael. The display can be everything because you're going to look at that all day long, so you really need to be happy with it. There are two types of displays actually still out there. There's the old traditional CRT or television model. You will see that with units that are being sold, kind of older units, or maybe you'll see them on eBay, or maybe you'll see one given away to somebody or a family member had it. Those CRT units still are kind of good, but there's some things you should think about when looking at those. One is that it's got a glass screen, and the glass screens can either be flat or kind of rounded. And if they're kind of rounded, then light is going to reflect off of them, and you could see yourself reading a magazine, and that's no fun. So you have to think about that when you're looking at a CRT. If I'm going to buy a CRT, am I going to put it in a place where I'm going to have a bay window behind me and have all this light reflect off of it? Might not be a great idea. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people actually see CRTs better. I have glaucoma, and I tend to see CRTs a little better. And it gets back to that conversation we had in the previous tech chat about how some people see video magnifiers better than real life, because in real life, if you go outside and look at a beautiful car, it's light reflecting off of a car. But if you see a beautiful car on a magnifier, you're actually staring into the light. So your eye tends to pick up things better because there's nothing inhibiting the light from hitting your eye.
But CRT for new devices is not even an option, is it?
No, not really. Most people have switched over to LCDs. It's very hard to find manufacturers. They might still do it custom, or they might still have some in the back. The downside about that is that if something goes wrong with your monitor, then you're making the jump to LCD anyway. And, you know, there's some advantages to LCDs. One is that you could have them either square in like a 19-inch model, or 17 if you find some that are still available in 17s. That may work for somebody who has limited field issues, because like we discussed last week, a larger screen doesn't, last month, a larger screen doesn't necessarily mean that you can see text better. If you have very thin fields, you don't see text any better because the screen is larger. You're actually seeing less because you can only see a small portion of the screen.
Aren't there some issues with square displays?
Right. With square displays, some people will say that they don't see a line all the way, a natural line. I guess a way to explain it would be like a 20-cell, 40-cell, 80-cell. Some people feel more comfortable reading an entire line of text, you know, generally 80 cells. Sometimes with square screens, you're kind of cropping that down to 40. For people who are into the widescreens, who like the LCDs, they can get a almost up to a 24-inch or even higher monitor that you can read an entire line of text. Some people feel like this is a more natural way of reading, that they don't have to move their XY table, the little reading table that moves the book for them as much, if it's got a wider screen. So that kind of helps in that direction. So LCDs also give you the ability to tilt and move and raise and lower the monitor. So there's some advantages to LCDs, but the most important idea is how bright is it? How colorful is it? And what size fits best for me? Just like shoes.
So size matters, but it's different based on whether you're reading magazines or local printed material in front of your newspapers as opposed to scanning objects and people across the room in a classroom. So, right?
Exactly. With a wider screen, you could get more of an Excel spreadsheet on there. You could get two columns of text on there. You could, if you're doing a ledger or forms, you can see more of what's around you. And that makes all the difference. Some people would say that just because I've got a bigger screen, then that takes up more desk space. And that's not necessarily true. The XY table, the reading table, is what really determines how big of a desk space you're losing when you, put a desktop CCTV magnifier, video magnifier onto a desk. The screen generally is sitting on top or is, in front of the unit. And that generally doesn't affect the size or the space that's being taken up by the video magnifier. So different video magnifiers have components in the back that can kind of make them longer from stem to stern, and that can be an issue. But the XY table generally rolls about as far as it can go. And by an XY table, I mean a reading table. That's where you put your materials on a little tray that moves up and down towards you, or left and right. And that's easier to move a book back and forth. But you'd mentioned, Michael, about classrooms. And what's really neat is there's some units out there now that actually don't have reading tables. They actually have cameras on arms. And these allow you to be able to read in the classroom. And that's really helpful because you can actually tilt a camera up at somebody and say, view a blackboard, and then tilt it back down to read some materials. And those are a little different than our standard video magnifiers that we usually see on a desk. Like I said, some of them don't have XY tables. Some of them have XY tables as accessories. And as we'll hear later tonight, one actually has an XY table that actually clips onto it. So that's kind of interesting and new. The advantage of one of these camera arm ones is you can also read things that are larger. When you have a traditional video magnifier, let's say you've chosen a CRT or an LCD, and you have a fixed camera, well, there's only so much space between the camera and the XY table or the reading table. And that means you can't get larger objects under there. Let's say if you're a machinist, you're not going to be able to fit a large part to be able to clean it under a traditional magnifier. Those are generally made for reading mail, reading magazines, being able to read certain types of materials. And if you want to be able to read magazines and a lot of print or do your crossword puzzle, a traditional desktop magnifier is fantastic for that. But if you're wanting to do something larger, you're wanting to do woodworking, or you want to be able to have the ability to see across the room, then you can look at one of these new video magnifiers that still stand alone because it plugs into the wall. They don't all run on batteries. But it has some portable aspects to it that you can collapse it down into a case and carry it places and set it up in different areas.
Now, about connecting your units to a computer? What's involved? What's the connectors? Are you going through the SVGA or DPI or RCA? If you had maybe a TV tuner card, or how do you interface the two?
Wow, in the old days, there actually was a video card that you connected to and special software that you would run. One of the very first PC access units I ever saw was like that. But nowadays, it's really simple. It's kind of like a VCR. If you have a PC access video magnifier that does not share the screen, and I'll explain that in a moment, if you just have the magnifier and your video, your LCD that comes with your computer, you run the video out of the computer and you run it into the input of the video magnifier. And then there's a connector on the back that your monitor hooks into. And then that's kind of your middleman, just like your VCR, where you take the cable out, put it into the video into the VCR, and then run the video out to your television. Now, that's a traditional standalone PC access unit. There are new units these days that actually have a monitor attached. So you don't have to do that second step. You just run the video out of your computer into the video magnifier, and then that video magnifier screen becomes your computer monitor. And then you can split the screen. You could have it horizontal or vertical split. So half of it would be the video magnifier and the other half would be the PC. Now, there's some good sides and bad sides to this, Michael, because one of the things is that if you're sharing a computer, like at work or at home, and there's only one computer available, if somebody's using the computer, well, then you can't read anything with your video magnifier. But if you're reading and somebody wants to use the computer, they'll have to wait till you're done with your crossword puzzle. So there are some advantages to having a PC access-based video magnifier because you can share the screen. If you're a data entry operator, it's fantastic to be able to read the data up top and then enter it in the bottom. One of the downsides, though, about video magnification in some cases is that you can only go to 1024 by 768 as the maximum resolution. And that can cause some problems if you go past that for some types of video magnifiers. So those guys out there who are gamers or have family members who are gamers, they might change your resolution. You'll come back to do your PC split and you're like, what happened? What happened to my video magnifier? You have to go and look at the resolution and that will help you. It's one of the most common things you'll get asked is, what happened? Why doesn't it work? But when I rebooted, the video card driver updated and it changed the natural resolution of the unit. So those are things you want to think about is size, the actual, you know, whether it's a CRT, LCD, you want to think about how bright it is, the contrast. And then, of course, you have to think about your features. Do I want this to be a desktop CCTV that I can do a lot of writing under, like in a classroom, and I can flip the camera up and look across the room? Or do I want it to be one of these that I do, you know, not a whole lot of heavy-duty reading. I want to do just casual reading. And so a traditional desktop video magnifier that we've all used before, it may be just perfect and probably might be a more affordable, because when you start adding some of these other features like an external camera or PC access, the cost can go up.
Okay, well, we certainly have more questions, but before we do that, let's bring in Brian Smith from Magnesite. Thank you for joining us tonight, Brian, and let's talk about some of the products that you bring into the low vision space.
You bet. Thank you, Michael, and also thank you, Joe, for having me on your program. It's a pleasure to meet everyone. I'm the president and owner of Magnesite. And, you know, it's interesting in the background listening to you there, Joe. And you brought up a lot of, you know, important issues there and a lot to consider in buying a CCTV. I think what I'll do is maybe run through some of my products, but then save some time at the end to talk about some of the stuff you were talking about as well, Joe. What we have is we're more of a desktop producer. We have been historically, although we are starting to look at some of these other devices. The first product we have is our Journey. That's our newer machine, and the Journey is more of a traditional CCTV desktop. It has some unique features to it. With the LCD, what you're seeing now, and you touched on it, Joe, is the ergonomics. And so you're seeing the controls coming out onto your panel so that, and then you're seeing your panels raise up and down. And the Journey does that. Actually, it's one of the machines that gets down the lowest. Also has the ability not only to go up and down, but tilt back and forth. And then you're actually able to lay it totally flat. And that's good. You don't see too many that go totally flat. And where that is good, if you're doing it more like a podium and you're standing over the unit, you know, so you're not, sometimes I'm putting something together for my kids and, you know, you're up and down in the chair where you can just kind of lay that back. Some of the ladies cooking the same thing. They can stay standing up, tilt it all the way back or whatever angle to meet their needs. So that's one thing unique about the Journey. And it has, you know, the traditional things, the zoom and the, we believe pretty strongly in brightness because I think I think when you get into CCTVs, you have different materials that require different brightness. You may look at something that's backlit or something that's shiny. You need to reduce it. Also, certain people like darker screens a little bit more than brighter screens. Other people like brighter screens. And of course, we have the modes you see now where you have the different colors that they, and you can pick a color that's best for you. Don't know why, you know. Why does this person like green and that person like blue? And sometimes in the mind, a person can, I've had people see pink on green, you know, and that was the only color that really worked for them. And then, you know, the other big thing I think that's come out too is the LED lighting, which is a more of a brighter lighting. It takes much less energy, so you can get more into your battery. Also, it's... you know, it's a bright light. Usually it's a light that you can control, you know, how hot or light you want to make it. And also it's a lighting that isn't hot. You know, some of the old lighting is pretty hot.
You, with your Journey, what's really interesting is you have the variable light control. So there's right. that little switch down there that you can roll that
right.
makes it
lighter. Right, so you can actually change it. And that's really important because I tell you who that really benefits is someone with RP. They're very light sensitive and they'll complain about too much light. You know, they may put the screen in a negative mode and then they'll dim that light down so that, you know, they're not seeing all this light come from the table. And you can actually turn it off, you know. The other thing that's neat about the Journey 2 is you can actually remove the head off the frame. And my original design on that was a couple aspects. One, obviously, for service, if there is an issue, all we have to do is to ship you out the head. All the electronics is up in the top, in the camera and in the panel. But the bigger reason we did it is now you can start to put different bases underneath it. And we actually have, we call it the Journey Flex, and it's an arm that you can, you know, like a traditional arm that you clamp onto the table. And you can actually, there's a button on either side of the unit about halfway back, and you just push on that. The head removes off, and then you can go over and put it onto the arm. And that's really neat because now you get away from the XY table, you get away from this restricted space. People like that have big maps, you know, they like it because there's nothing, you know, there's no frame in the back to hit. Also, it's important. I don't know how many times you have this kind of off-viewing stuff where you're trying to see a UPS box or, you know, I got kids and I got frozen food and seems like all the packaging is on the edge of the package now. And, you know, before you had to flatten the box to read the directions. And then, you know, the time you do all that, the kid says, oh, I don't want that one, Dad.
Yeah, so. Or shipping labels. You were trying to read the
labels.
Shipping. Yeah, that was always my problem.
Yeah, I mean, any of that stuff. Some of the arts, you know, they like it because they can do pottery and stuff. Because you can actually raise that camera up 18 inches, you know. And, yeah, you still have to maintain, you know, the 7 to 10 inch working distance. And some people say, well, you know, I like to, you know, have the full 18 inches. And you can't do that. But typically, it's more of an issue. You need to raise your unit up, see something big, and then lower the unit back down. And when it's lowered back down, then it's back to, you know, viewing like a regular reading machine. I tell you where that's also popular is we've had people doing the crocheting and stuff. They can actually swing it over to the side as long as you have a substantial table. And, you know, because it bent, it swivels at the base, it swivels in the middle, and it actually swivels at the camera. And they'll turn it so that they can just hold their crocheting in their lap, and their unit will be right in front of them. And one of the big things with that too, which kind of, you know, you're not really seeing on these other units is what we call inline viewing. And that's a pretty important thing. Traditionally, even in some of those units you were talking about, Joe, where you're looking, you know, some of them have it in the center, but a lot of them are on either side, and you don't get that inline viewing. And inline viewing is really important because it keeps your body straight, centered. You're not turned one way, crooked. You know, it's right there in front of your screen, you know, your face. So that's something pretty important versus if a camera's on one side and the monitor's on the other side, you're kind of doing a stretch thing.
Absolutely.
Brian, yeah. Can I get you to talk about the Explorer LCD series? This product's been around quite a while, right? So I'm curious what's new, how's it evolved?
Well, that's kind of been my bread and butter for a long time. It's, you know, the thing keeps going and going, and it never breaks down, does it, Joe?
No. And and you've managed to update that model.
Yeah, and let me talk about that. And I just want to say, in the thing going, I just talked to a lady that had her machine since 1994 and it's still working.
Wow.
I said, well, it might be time to update. No,
if I could only say the same about the old Apollo lasers.
Yeah, yeah. But what we've been able to do is we've been able to put an arm and put a panel on it and bring in the LCD technology, which is really nice because, like Joe was saying, you can get that screen down. You can do things ergonomically that you couldn't do with a CRT. One of the traditional problems with the monitor on top is it kind of towered above the person, and now you can get that monitor nice and low. Also, on that arm, you can swivel it way left or way right. Some of the computer users like it. Because, and I want to touch on that a little bit, the computer, split screens are good, but I only typically recommend split screens when a person needs to, they're doing translating. Like you said, you know, they're reading something in the top of the screen and they're putting it into the computer below. Typically, a split screen is kind of a hard unit to use. It's already, you've got this small area, and now you're going to split that in half. It's pretty tough. And I actually typically recommend just park your CCTV beside your computer and kind of use them in conjunction to each other. And that's how I do it, because sometimes I just want to use my computer and not my TV. Sometimes I want to just use my, you know, magnifier and not the computer. And if you put them side by side, now that gets to be a problem if someone has space limitation. And then that's when you can, you know, you can do it. And a simple way to do it is you can do it in A or B, where you're not necessarily splitting. You're just using the same monitor to look either at the camera or either look at the computer. Also,
it's
with that
full screen. I wanted to cut in there.
Yeah,
you mean to switch it so it's not a split screen.
And it's actually easier to use when it's full screen than when
if you're spending a lot for a big monitor, you might as well use it. So I understand.
Yeah, and the other thing you're seeing too with the computers now is the USB connections in. You know, you're coming in on the USB. Cameras are actually outputting on USB. And there's some exciting news on the camera fronts. I mean, you saw the autofocus, the introduction of autofocus. I think that really simplified it. It was funny. We held a VA contract for years since 2002. And when I first talked to them, they said, well, you know, Mr. Smith, there's not too many of our veterans that are using autofocus. And I actually at the time offered them the autofocus for the same price as the manual focus. And the manual focus is where you had to focus it yourself. And they said, well, you can do that and we'll see what happens. Well, you know, within the first 6 months, 80-90% of the sales were autofocus. Because autofocus, you just put it under there, it focuses. You go to a book, it focuses. You put something under there, it focuses. It took that focusing step out, where before you always had to turn a knob, dial it in, and then, you know, you change your thickness, you have to refocus it. Now what you're starting to see, which is exciting too, and we're starting to play around, is you're starting to see the HD technology. And there you're talking about an incredible image, more than really a low vision person can see. But, you know, especially, you know, when a person's got like RP or something like that, where they need that real small print, that's where the HDs are really tremendous, because, you know, the image is just incredible, even at the low end, you know, as long as you've got an HD camera and an HD monitor.
Well, you know, Brian, one of the things about Saratech is that, you know, we are users of our products and you know, we are speaking from the hip because, you know, we use our products. That's why we speak so well towards it. I think Magnesite's kind of the same way, you know, because you often talk about how you're visually impaired and you're manufacturing units from the perspective of a visually impaired person.
I tell you, Joe, it makes a huge difference. I mean, and it's not that, you know, do I know more than someone else, or, you know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. I think I do after, you know, we're 20 years in business now. We're the oldest U.S. manufacturer now because some of the other ones have sold out. But what I find is I have the abilities. So I, you know, I have the manufacturing, I have the R&D team. And I tell you, I don't know how many times I've, you know, say, well, let's design something. I say, well, the real test is put it on my desk, or I go out and, you know, try to loaded into the box or out in the field. And I'm like, guys, you know, I had a heck of a time. I couldn't get the phones right. Can we just index the phone so that, you know, it goes in either way? Or I couldn't find the hole to get the screw in. I mean, little things that you really don't think of. When you have the vision perspective, that you say, wow, you know, that's hard to feel, or that's not different, or, you know, you'll see, and you know, sometimes I laugh because I see some of this competition out there. And I mean, I'm not here to say they build wonderful products and great products, but sometimes they miss the boat because they're not visually impaired, you know, so. You're right, you know, Joe, and I think that speaks volume to your company as well, that you're using it. And I think that's a big deal, you know. I think that's what makes your company different. I know it sure has been true for Magnesite.
Brian, what about people wanting to just watch television or videos through their computer? I mean, are there certain displays best for that? I was amazed that we have all this technology and some folks just want to watch TV.
Well, that's the neat thing. I think what you're seeing now with the LCDs, see, that's what's interesting. It, when you get into, you know, being a manufacturer, you have a board, you have a video board. So you basically have your, you have the driver board for the lights, you have, and then you have your converter board. Well, the neat thing about that is they can, what do you want? You know, you want S video, you want TV, you want VGA. And a lot of these, especially, you know, you go buy your TV today, and it's going to have a VGA in. It's going to have an RCA in. Sometimes they have an RCA.
You know, it makes me laugh a little bit because, Brian, you'll get this.
And what's neat about that is you can, you know, you can plug your camera into it. You can plug your computer into it. You can watch TV on it. And you know, the TV, I always get that question. They say, well, how can you magnify the TV? The oldest trick in the book is get a bigger TV and sit closer.
Yeah, there you go.
It's that simple, folks. It's just,
well,
you know,
a long
get
time
a bigger
ago.
TV and sit closer, and you'll magnify your TV.
So, Brian, let me ask you one question before we break and go play the Optilec interview. Joe gave suggestions earlier. What are yours that someone should be considering when looking for the ultimate magnifier to meet their needs?
Well, I think Joe said it well. I think the desktops, you know, people say, well, you don't really need a desktop. Well, you know, and you have a portable. I actually think you need both. When you're going to sit and do a lot of reading, you really need a desktop. You're going to do a lot of writing, you really need a desktop. I'd like to compare them to a laptop and a PDA or a smartphone. You know, that smartphone, it's okay. But man, don't you want your desktop or don't you want your laptop to really, you know, do some work? That's kind of true, the same with the desktops. Now, the portables are great. That's why I think it's important. We actually do a thing where we say, you know, buy a desktop and we'll give you, you know, we sell a looky product, you know, a little portable, because then you need that type of product when you're going out to the store. You know, you need to see something. It needs to be transportable to you. I always ask the person what you're trying to do. If you got the student and they're trying to do something in the classroom, they're trying to do something on the computer. If they're a senior, they just want to do reading at home. I mean, you really have to evaluate what the person's doing, what the person's capable. We're young people, but you get into a senior, they can't handle a lot of complexity. You know,
very good.
It's
got to
be straightforward.
Yeah, it's got to be straightforward and simple. Let me go ahead and play the Optilec interview, and you've agreed to stay around, and we'll take some questions with the remaining time. So let's go ahead and listen to this interview that Joe Steinkamp conducted with Kelly Stewart from Optilec.
We've got Kelly Stewart from Optilec with us today, and we're going to talk a little bit about the product lines that she has in the desktop magnifiers, what's available, and some of the choices that are available from Optilec. The ClearView Plus comes in not necessarily different shapes or sizes, but different configurations. Looking at the website, you can see that there are two different versions of the smaller units as far as the display size goes. Let's talk about the differences between, say, a 19-inch and an 18-inch, and then we'll talk about some other product features.
So the 18-inch monitor is a flat, widescreen, matte finish monitor, and we came out with that particular version because of the glare issue that some people were having as far as it affecting the brightness of what was displaying on the monitor. And, of course, where they're using it, some lighting situations, it's better to have a matte finish. So the 18 inches created specifically for that. It's a different type of monitor than the 19-inch, and of course, we'll talk about the 22-inch, and it doesn't have the ability to have an ultra-flexible arm, which the 19-inch and 22-inch monitors have. So the 19-inch monitor is very similar to other ones out in the market, except it's special Optilec monitor. It's not like one you could go buy off the shelf at a store. It's created for our machines to make sure that the brightness, the contrast, and the clarity of the image is as pristine as possible. The benefit of having the 19 and the 22-inch monitors is that it has an ultra-flexible arm attached to the unit. That means that it can move in five different variations, up, down, left, right, and actually tilt further than other units in the market do, as well as if someone was standing or sitting, you can adjust the monitor accordingly. So if I was sitting, I would want to, you know, obviously pull my chair up to the desk and then pull the monitor as close to my face as possible. We designed it for two reasons. One, for people to have comfort when they're reading, and to support any other maybe mobility issues that someone might have. So having an adjustable, extremely adjustable monitor is important for someone that's going to be sitting down and reading, say, a book, or working on crossword puzzles, or reading, you know, a section of the newspaper.
I've noticed that that monitor kind of comes forward to some people, mm-hmm. and you can actually rotate the monitor the same way you would with a phone, so you could have landscape and then you can have portrait. That's kind of unique in the industry, isn't it?
It's very unique in the sense that when you turn the monitor, the image actually turns with it. That's actually important. The entire image will turn with it, so you can, just like phones, have landscape or portrait, which is important for someone who's doing, you know, bills or reading in text that's in a column, a newspaper, anything where they need to see long ways, and other languages also.
I've noticed that before too. I've actually worked with people who are using it for Chinese and other languages, yep. because they can see more of the page going down vertically, of course, than horizontally. That again is really unique, along with the tray controls. All of the ClearView units that we've been talking about so far, and some of the other ones we're going to discuss, have tray controls, and by that I mean they're actual controls that are located on the tray. Can you talk about that a little?
I think it's important for listeners to know that there are three parts to a ClearView unit. There's the monitor, there's the camera, and there's what we call an XY base table. So with the tray that you're referring to is our XY base table, which is a sliding reading table that has all of the controls at the bottom. And it's designed that way, so really for ergonomics. So you're going to, you know, have your hands resting on the unit. You're not going to want to have to keep moving your hand up and down or extremely to the right or extremely to the left to do any sort of adjusting when you're reading. If you come to a certain, you know, section of a book where text might be larger than another section, you're going to have to adjust the magnification manually. Well, you don't want to have to be looking in different places and then lose your spot. A resting area on the unit where people can comfortably rest their wrists.
And it's still balanced, so it's not going to fall over towards you. And you kind of tend to lean on an XY table or a reading table sometimes. And there's an electric lock, which is really neat, so you can actually keep that from rolling all over.
Yes, the brake is very important, and it's really easy. That, too, is also located on the XY table right underneath. So it's not something that you would bump and unlock and lock when you don't want to. And there's a definite sound, so you know when the table has been locked.
It's great for when you're having to read a soup can. You don't want the tray to roll and the can to roll. The square 19-inch, the widescreen matted 18.5, and then the wider screen, like the 22-inch, because some people with field vision tend to see things a little better on a widescreen model because it doesn't stand as tall vertically as it does horizontally.
Yes, the widescreen, the benefit of that is because it's a widescreen, you're going to be able to get more text across the monitor. You know, more reading material is going to be in the monitor when it's a widescreen as opposed to a quote-unquote square monitor.
Then that gets into the rectangular high definition, and there's some high definition options available for the ClearView.
Yes, as part of its modularity, and the reason why we have a modular system, one is so people can upgrade, which the HD is an upgrade, and two, so people are able to really get a perfect fit for their need, not only their need as far as being able to read and write and do activities, but also to fit their budget. As each piece is modular, they all obviously costs different amounts. So the HD is part of the camera modularity. So you could have a 22-inch monitor, the regular, you know, basic XY table, and change out your camera if you had maybe a what we call a rayon color camera or a black and white for an HD. So it's all modular. And the HD allows for individuals to bring text all the way down to 1x magnification, so one-on-one, and then all the way up to 72 times. And then you're going to get, especially in, if you're looking at anything that has a lot of color on it and you're looking at it in full color mode, the contrast and the trueness of the colors is so much richer in an HD than a regular camera. As most people know about when you're talking about televisions, that's the big sales pitch, is the actual image that you see on the screen is so much richer and truer to what the image actually looks like.
Thinking about the modular part of it, there are feature packs that you can add to bring on more features to the unit. So if you can't afford a unit at first with some of the features you want, you could always add some of these features later on to expand the ability of your unit that you already have.
Absolutely. The true beauty of the OpsLab ClearView is your vision changes or your needs change, you can always change your system. We have 4 to 5 different types of feature packs. So we have a basic feature pack with just black and white, white on black, full color, and you can actually add what we call grayscale mode in there. The basic part has some features, reading lines, and then additional colors. And then the advanced, you can cut out certain parts of the screen. You have the full 16 color contrast. You can toggle back and forth between a PC and your ClearView. And then we have 2 other feature packs, which is what we call the auto zoom feature pack, meaning that it literally zooms for you. So you would set the magnification on the ClearView and the contrast that you wanted. And then whatever type of material gets placed underneath, it's always going to go to that contrast and magnification. So say you had you were looking at a newspaper, which, you know, the headlines are in one font size and the text is in another, it would automatically change for you.
The different knobs that allow you to do the lines or the actual windowing for featuring, and those actually turn when you do the monitor that comes towards you and you turn it into telescope or landscape mode. Those bars change for those people who do like to be able to still have their lines and windows. Just because you're turning the display monitor doesn't mean that you're messing up the picture.
If the monitor turns, it should be able to do all the same functions that it did when it was horizontal.
You've got even more controls under the sliding door that allows you to adjust contrast and camera focus. So this unit can be as complex as you need it to be, or very simple if you need it to be that way. There's a new unit that I wasn't familiar with called the MultiView. Can you give us a little bit of information about that unit?
The MultiView is what we call a portable desktop unit. It has a 19-inch widescreen monitor, and it has an adjustable arm, which is where the camera is, and it can move all the way left, all the way right. It can view near, distance, and then self-viewing. So if someone needed to do any grooming needs, they would be able to do that in the classroom to see their classmates.
So this all folds down into a carrying case?
It does have a handle on the back that you could carry it from, but it also comes with a carrying case. Now the case has wheels, so it's easy to manage. Literally, you just lift it up, take the camera, you know, off, put it into the case, place the camera in the case, and then zip it up. You're on your way. So for people who travel, you know, who maybe live in New York but have a home in Florida, it's great because they can check it at the airport and they have their unit in both homes.
And how heavy is that?
I want to say 26 pounds.
Okay.
Maybe less.
That's about standard for everybody that size.
I think that's standard. Yeah, and it has wheels and it's, you know, just like a rolling suitcase is how I would describe it. But what's great about the MultiView is that it has an XY reading table that is detachable. It's not attached to the unit. There's a place to store it in the back. So if you didn't need to use the reading table, you wouldn't have to pull it out for every use, just when you needed to read something. But just like the ClearView reading table, it does the same function as far as being able to slide back and forth. It's very beneficial, you know, for someone who's doing some long-term reading. And then the other feature that it has is a removable remote control. So it's attached via like a USB and it has a cord so people won't lose it, but they can also detach it if they don't want to use the remote control. And then it has a magnetic strip so you can store it at the bottom of the multi-view.
A traditional desktop unit, but we have the flexibility of some of the portables that we've talked about on this podcast before. So you can have the ability to see distance is what sets it apart from, say, a regular desktop unit, right?
Absolutely, yes. It's the distance and then the ability to do self-viewing. So it's really three cameras in one.
There were some other products that I wasn't familiar with you wanted to touch on today as well. You had talked about some power greeting glasses, or what are those?
Yes, we came out with Optilec Power TV glasses, which are reading and activity glasses. But I do need to point out that they're not for driving. We do not promote driving with these glasses. They're really to be used for outdoor activities, watching television. You know, if you're going to a baseball game or you just wanted to watch TV, they're perfect. They have an adjustable double frame, so you can adjust the frame out or in based on the needs of the individual. And then it's literally put your TV about 10 feet away and you're off and watching the movie marathon or something.
Do they have like an adjustable zoom?
There's actually two sort of frames in one. You are adjusting the outer frame, which has the magnification, and you can put them over existing glasses. And they're very reasonably priced. A perfect holiday gift for anyone that enjoys watching TV.
And do they rely on batteries, or how do they charge?
No batteries. They're just magnification glasses. Under $100, and you know, come with a case and cleaning lens cloth, and you're all set.
And then you were going to tell us about another product that I wasn't familiar with.
Brand new. We just launched it this month in the United States. It's called the Optilec Clear Reader Plus. And what it is a text-to-speech technology system, so OCR system, that allows users to actually scan text, and it will read it back in literally 3 seconds. It has the ability to change languages, to change the actual sound of the voice, whether it's male, female. You know, you can actually have a British accent or an American accent. It has headphone connectors where you can connect headphones to it, so you can have, you know, privacy when you're reading. It's extremely light. It's about 5 pounds, and it actually looks like old transistor radio style to it. So it's kind of retro looking. It's very, you know, slim as far as the size of it. How to use it is you just press the arm and the arm comes up, which has the camera, and you snap a picture and then it's reading to you.
This is a self-contained device. It's not connected to other modules or...
Correct. Currently, it is a self-contained device. Battery, it runs usually, you know, about 5 hours on battery, but it's rechargeable. Then you can purchase headphones and a carrying case for it if someone needed to.
What are some tips you would give somebody to think about when choosing a video magnifier in general? Not necessarily towards Optilec, but what are some things that you've seen that people should think about when looking at a video magnifier?
That's a good question. I think the most important thing is to first ask yourself what you want to do. You know, is it reading? Is it crafting? Is it writing? Is it looking at pictures? And then to go from there, take the activity that you want to do and then find the solution. And to keep in mind where you're going to, especially if it's a desktop magnification system, where you're going to place it in your home, what kind of lighting already exists in your home or office or school. And then, you know, going back to what are you going to use it for will help you pick your monitor size, you know, if you need additional features, and the camera type you decide on. Keeping in mind, if you're going to be reading, as usually what most people choose these devices for a long time, try them out. Try them all so that you know without a doubt, because we all know in the United States it's not covered by regular health insurance. These units can be pricey. To try them out, take the time to read a book when you're looking to purchase one of these desktop units. Bring whatever you're going to want to do to, you know, either if you're going to an organization that provides these products to individuals, if you're speaking with a manufacturer's representative, if you're at a trade show, wherever, is that you bring the material or items that you're going to be using with the desktop. unit. I think that's the most important thing. You know, it's hard for us when we're at a trade show, if we just have a newspaper, I'm not really going to use it to read a newspaper. I'm going to use it to do A, B, and C. If you're looking at the desktop units, you should have A, B, and C with you so you know which one is the best fit.
Give some contact information. How can people get a hold of Optelec?
So if you're going on the web, optelec.com, which is OPTELEC.com, is where you'll find all of our Optelec products. Also on that site is our corporate number, which is 800-826-4200. But we have over 45 representatives in the U.S. in almost every single state that are available to actually show the products. And on our Optelec website is where you can go to find a dealer. And the dealer would be doing the demonstrations and the one-on-one communication with someone who is interested in buying a unit. We actually have two websites. The other website they could go to is shoplowvision.com, all one word. And that also has all the Optelec equipment on there as well.
Exactly. And there's some other handhelds and other devices that we didn't talk about today that are there available to be looked at as well. Kelly, thank you for taking some time out of your busy day today to talk with us here at Serotalk. We look forward to talking to you again maybe sometime about video magnifiers.
Absolutely, anytime.
What text or objects would be hardest to read with a video magnifier?
You know, Brian touched on it earlier, and there are some things like big, bulky packages, like if you get something in the mail from Amazon, being able to read things that are shiny. You wouldn't think that taking something out of the freezer would be difficult, but actually the frost, and if it's a bag of potatoes, or if it has a lot of reflection to it, that can be very hard to read. And that kind of touches on what Brian was talking about with the journey, where you can turn the lights down a little bit. Also, reading something backlit, you would think, oh, I'm going to read my cell phone. Well, that's light shooting up at the camera, and you also have light shooting down at the big glass screen. So that can cause problems where you have to angle things, and that's why it's important to be able to have a contrast level or a brightness level to be able to combat some of those things. The things are generally designed to read text, but when you read something round, that can be a big issue because only so much of the text is going to be visible to the camera at any time. So if you're trying to read something, you're reading cream of mushroom soup. Okay. And that way you know, because you're only going to see MUS or MUSH at one time when you're looking with a camera. So there's a lot of things that you have to think about. And I think Kelly touched on it really well. Take what you read most or what you're going to read most to a demonstration. Make sure you take which, if you do a lot of work with ledgers, take your ledgers. If you're a woodworker, take slide rules or your materials or things that you have to do. I've worked with ladies who did crochet and beads, and they've actually, you know, placed their hands under the camera to see if they could see where the beads holes were to put the thread through. So I've seen a lot of people use these devices and they get kind of frustrated because the limitations of the device won't allow them to be able to read the stuff that they want to read all the time. So it's very important to think about what you're going to use this for. And then be aware that you're going to have still some limitations because the technology, it fails, as we found out tonight. So things happen.
We have a question here. So let's see what the question is. Matt asks, why would someone want to buy a video magnifier with its own monitor instead of using a computer monitor?
Right. So when Brian was talking about having two monitors on the desk, there are some people who grew up with video magnifiers like I have, and you just can't wrap your brain around splitting a screen. It's just, if I've got a 22-inch screen, I want to see text on a 22-inch screen. I don't want to have to split it into 11 and 11 and put a PC image at the top or bottom and put the text on the other half. So some people generally prefer to have two separate monitors and have, you know, that takes up more of the desk, but there's a little bit of freeing to it because you're not having to do, like Brian was talking about, with an AV switch or a foot pedal or any other control to be able to flip you from PC to full screen CCTV to split screen PC and video magnifier. So, and let me clarify here too. We've tossed around the term CCTV and video magnifier. Those of you who are outside the United States are probably thinking security cameras. The general term that's being used nowadays is video magnifier. CCTV, if you put that into Google, you'll see a lot of stuff about the UK CCTV camera. So we try to say video magnifier as best we can.
That's close circuit, right? For reasons of secure privacy, like monitoring
exactly.
Businesses and so forth, right? Right.
Exactly. But we've kind of interchanged them a couple of times tonight, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows that a CCTV is a video magnifier, and a video magnifier is a CCTV. The more politically correct term these days is video magnifier.
Well, let me ask you this. This came up the other day. My iPhone quit talking, and it was interesting. Someone said, well, I wonder if you could read the screen with your Opticon. Well, of course, you couldn't because it was backlit. So I'm curious, can you read something that is backlit, such as your cell phone, with the video magnifier?
Yeah, you can. You can actually, if you turn the lights down or if you angle the device in such a way that the light isn't reflecting off of it, you can do that. Where it really helps, though, is that you have a color CCTV or video magnifier, because a black and white one is going to be difficult to read some of the higher contrast on, say, the iPhone 4 or something like that, especially the iPhone 4, because that's a lot of glass. So it can be done. Would you read, you know, a call's coming in, let me grab my, you know, phone and put it under my video magnifier? That's probably not realistic. But reading your missed calls, reading texts, maybe reading through the web or something like that, that would probably help a lot more, and you'd be able to do some things. But remember also, will you have your hands under a camera and you're not looking directly down at your phone? So you'll do a little bit of a mental gymnastic there to be able to get all that to work.
So let me ask you, why would someone want to tilt or turn their screen?
So Brian touched on tonight that you could be standing and walking back and forth to it and looking down at it. Professors do this, like he was talking about ladies who are cooking or gentlemen who want to come by and read the recipe book and then walk back to the kitchen. That makes it really easier, because otherwise, you have to sit down in front of the magnifier and kind of get line on sight where you're looking directly at it. So if you can tilt it, that makes things easier as far as being able to stand, walk back and forth, or as Brian was saying, you could tilt it in such a way that you could look at the computer monitor and just turn your head ever so slightly to be able to see the video magnifier on your left or your right. And also, what's really good about the ones that share the monitor, getting back to Matt's question, is that you can actually have your keyboard caddy under your reading table, so that way you don't ever have to move your head. But it's good to have the option where you can. And I find sometimes that there was one person that I worked with who had some issues. He had chemical burns in his eyes, and the only way he could read the text was to stand over the monitor and tilt the monitor at a 30-degree field and then tilt his head back and look through the bottom of his eyes. And this one monitor that was able to tilt was the greatest thing for him. So I never discount a feature, because there may be one person who really adores it.
Well, we talked about reading documents, but should your choice in a magnifier vary depending on what type that is? I remember I worked with a guy in radio who had the XY table just to read trade magazines, which was very small print in a newspaper type format, versus someone who might read magazines or regular, you know, books from a library, or, you know, like you mentioned, graphs, diagrams, things of that sort.
Right. I think someone's trying to call us back in on Skype.
Well, unfortunately, I can't do anything about that. Unless they...
I know. I hear you. So I'm just saying, if you guys hear noises, that's what it is. The thing that can make a lot of difference is that you want something that's going to feel comfortable. You don't want to choose a unit with a lot of crazy complex controls if you don't need them. So if you're just doing gentle document reading, then having four or five controls is probably what you need. Your contrast, your zoom, your color adjustment, if you use false colors, those things, how easy can I get to them? Optilec, they're on the tray. Some people tend to like that. Other people who are left-handed might not like having those tray controls there when they go to write. So like with Brian's units, they're all on the monitor. So you can just reach up, casually make a choice, and then, you know, move your hands back down to move the table. The cool thing is that there's a lot of choices and a lot of different philosophies as to how that's going to work best for somebody. So getting the feel for a unit. How often am I going to use that control? Optilec explained tonight that you could actually add controls if you needed them. Brian explained that there were a lot of thought put into where they were doing with their controls, so you don't have to use a lot of controls. They're just all simply right there. So when you're looking at, say, document reading, you might not need all the crazy fancy, you know, windowing or the PC high definition stuff that Kelly was talking about. So you might want to shoot for a unit that feels more comfortable to you and that you can actually reach up and touch. Now, something that we hadn't touched on tonight is, you know, color of plastics and things like that. There are tables made out of metal. There are tables made out of plastic. There are monitors that have bright white around them to frame their LCDs. There are some that are darker. That all matters. And another thing that really you wouldn't think about is I've met people who've gotten a video magnifier, taken it home, and they come back and they go, oh man, it just doesn't look that good. Well, come to find out after talking to them, they have it up against a white wall and they didn't realize that they had glare issues.
Ah,
so when they looked at the monitor, they're looking at the white wall and all that light reflecting back at them. The same thing goes with some of these camera arms. Some of the arms that we've talked about tonight, like the ones with the external arms, don't have lights on them. So if you're going to take this into a classroom, and like the one that Kelly was talking about with the multi-view, if they flip the lights out, well, then you need to flip the camera up and read the PowerPoint presentation, but you're probably not going to flip that back down to make notes. So that may be an issue when you're looking at these. The same way that I had a guy who chose something like the multi-view, another competitor that has an external camera and the camera doesn't have any lights. And he said, you know, this unit looks really great in the morning, but it looks terrible in the evening. And I thought, well, maybe it's eye strain or something like that. Well, after talking with him, he had a window that faced east in the morning and there was brighter light in the room. So as the sun set in the west, he had less light and the camera didn't have enough light to show his text as well. So he had to get a desk lamp. So there's certain little things like that you have to consider that, wow, I really want the ability to flip up and see things far away, but what am I giving to be able to get that?
Final question. What about funding? I mean, states are more broke than ever. It's not coming in, as he said, via insurance. So how do we put together the funding for these? We didn't even talk about price. And of course, you'll have to contact the websites and individual dealers. But how do we address the funding issues? What is your procedure to prove that, A, you need this product? And I mean, do people getting employment have priority over a senior citizen who just needs to be able to see and, like you said, do a crossword puzzles and read the newspaper and watch TV? Or how does that work? Kind of a state-by-state thing. So it's kind of a...
As far as the vocational rehabilitation program goes, there are private organizations that purchase units for people. There are individuals who purchase out of their own pocket. We've discussed tonight some very affordable units, and then we have, like in the high definition one, some that are a little bit more pricey. Again, you're kind of choosing the one that meets your needs, but there are funding sources available if you look to each state, or there are organizations that are actually doing these through the Lions and other places that can assist. And then some of your local dealers actually have payment plans, or they'll allow you to place it on a credit card and work out terms. You might not find that, and I can't speak for either Optilec or Magnesite tonight, but sometimes their dealers or sometimes the companies themselves can work out pricing plans with you to make it affordable, because they recognize that people do need these devices and that not everybody has a couple of $1,000s to be able to purchase these devices.
And of course, there's always the used market. Joe, I want to thank you for your expertise. As always, this is certainly an area you excel in. You have a number of years of experience. Also thanking our guests, Mr. Brian Smith from Magnesite, and thanking Kelly for joining us from Optilec. And if you wish to continue this discussion, you can meet up with Joe Steinkamp in the Tech Chat Room on Samnet to continue further. Again, next week, October 21st, it's iPhone and iPod apps. On the 28th, we'll be talking about this week in access, this month in access technology. And I want to invite you to podcast 53 on the 25th. We will be demoing. We finally got our mitts on an Apple Bluetooth keyboard. Also a battery powered dock that's kicking out some pretty good sound. So we'll show you that stuff. And again, coming up in November, we're going to talk about PC security software and tips, as well as a holiday buying resource guide, websites and coupons, and just online safety, making sure you don't give your credit card to the wrong guys out there, or how to dispute if your items are damaged or not delivered. So we welcome your suggestions, resources at serotalk.com or the Blab line, toll-free number in North America, 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. Until we meet again next week to talk about the iPhone apps, one of my faves.
This concludes another Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.